So we left off this morning, we were talking about the tamal tree in the courtyard. And then I went to Bombay to talk about registering the society. And Darby Shakti said, now how is this transition? Why did you talk about registering the society when you're talking about the tamal tree in Bombay? And I forgot. But on the way back to Brindakund, I remembered. The story about the Bombay registration was a lesson in impersonalism. Impersonalism. The same thing with the tamal tree. I said to the architect, Sorabi, I said, that's a tamal tree, and we shouldn't cut the tree down. And he said, well, it's just a tree. It's like this president in the United States, he was the second stupidest one, Ronald Reagan, said, if you've seen one redwood tree, you've seen them all, so you can cut down the forest. That kind of reasoning, the kind of reasoning that the fanatic Muslims had when they took the books from Alexander the Great's library. He had accumulated wisdom from all around the world, medical, historical, sociological, psychological, travelogues, spirituality. And the fanatics said, if it agrees with the Quran, it's in the Quran, so throw it out. And if it doesn't agree with the Quran, throw it out. So they burnt three-quarters of Alexander. Prabhupada called him the Great Alexander. Prabhupada told the story, the philosopher Democritus living in a barrel was like an avadut, like a sadhu. He lived very simply, but he was very intelligent. So Prabhupada says, the Great Alexander went before him and said, I'm the Great Alexander, I can give you anything you want in the world. So, what do you want? And the Democritus, the avadut philosopher living in a barrel said, you're the Great Alexander, could you please move out of the way? You're blocking my sunlight. So it's the same mentality, and so the architect devotee, Sorabi, said, it's just a tree. So to me that was impersonalism. And a lot of times we carry on impersonalism in the guise of personalism. You know, like Hari Bol Prabhu, but you didn't really have a conversation. It could have been Surf's Up Dude in California. Did I have a conversation? No. Hari Bol Prabhu. You have to get to know each other on a personal level. Vaishnava is hearing the other and letting the hearing from each other is two aspects of love, sharing. So I went to Prabhupada and said, Sorabi wants to cut down the tamal tree. There's only a few in Vrindavan, and we shouldn't cut any trees down. And like I said this morning, Prabhupada said, move the temple. And so the plants had to be moved, and the tamal tree is there. And Prabhupada was sitting under it one night, and he asked many of the older devotees to speak, and Prabhupada was sitting there. And I spoke from my heart, and he called me in afterwards, and he said, you have spoken so nicely, Now I can retire. He didn't retire. He said, Pishima liked it too. And I said, well, she doesn't understand English. He said, no, she liked it. Because I was speaking from my heart. Pishima and I had a great relationship. I don't know if I told this, but in Mayapur, she was getting in a rickshaw, and I put her in the rickshaw, and then I ran behind it. But she didn't see me running behind it. So when she reached the Mayapur land from the yoga pit, I put her on the rickshaw, and now I'm taking her off the rickshaw. And she said, well, now you were there, and now you're here? We had this rivalry between Mayapur and Vrindavan to keep her here. And so one of the first assets that we started to accumulate on this land was Anand Prabhu. Anand came and he was living in Vishakhapatnam, and as I mentioned, he cooked, but he sang and he conversed with Pishima, and he was like one of the souls of this project, just by his perseverance and his example. And then, as I said, some five owls showed up on the tree, another tree, and that's auspicious. And then some parrots showed up, just like here in this tree. I don't know. Go by this tree, you'll see Suki and Duki. There's two parrots there, right here. The essence of Vrindavan is all around if you look. And you'll see a Chakura bird eating moonbeams if you look. And there's those kind of half-deer, half-cow animals near a Kruagat. What are those called? Thank you. Thank you. We should go see, but all of us right now. So Vrindavan, and then Bhagatji down the street, he helped out. Vishwambar Goswami. And Prabhupada came and he lived with us in the Radha Damodar rooms. And it was so sweet. And in those rooms, Jamuna told me that there was a monkey and making some noise, and Prabhupada had a conversation with the monkey. She said Prabhupada didn't see me, I was behind the door observing. And Prabhupada was actually having a conversation in the same monkey talk, same tone, and Jamuna said, you were talking to the monkeys? He said, yes, I have told them to go away and not bother us so much. Another time, a little monkey baby fell through the bars. It happened to me too, the same thing. And Prabhupada gave the little baby monkey and the mother clutched it. And then the same thing happened to me. The mother, oh, thank you. And then she came every day to get fed. And Prabhupada joked, once you feed an animal, they'll come all the time. He said you can domesticate just about any animal by feeding them except for a snake. He'd say things like that. And so, not only was I working on this project from nothing, but I had to go and get bricks and cement and take care of the visas, take care of all the imports of the books. I had a friend, Mr. Minocha. I had to go to the different pandals in Calcutta, Delhi, Bombay. So we were here, but also there's lots of duties. But I'd come back and always feel, even with my eyes closed, when I get to Kosi Kalan, I could feel, oh, I'm in Braj. I'm in Braj. And sometimes if I had some administrative difficulty, I would go onto one of the many Kalpavriksha trees in Vrindavan. The Kalpavriksha trees, the desire trees. But again, like this morning, I was talking about choice, and I was talking about the knife being a weapon or a saving. Prabhupada told a story about a desire tree. In other words, there's a motto, be careful for what you wish for. There's, be careful for what you wish for. It's in the West. So this wood chopper, was going in the woods, and he was working hard, and he said, you know, I've been working so hard all week, if only the wood would chop itself this time. Suddenly the wood was chopping itself, chop, 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 going, getting into piles. He said, I must be under a Kalpavriksha tree. I've been wishing so hard, now I'm hungry, so I'd like, and he wished himself a feast. So whatever your favorite feast is, he was with. And he said, I've been eating and wishing, and now it's late at night, and it's dark. What if the tiger should come and eat me? Yeah, and Prabhupada imitates a tiger, eating him. So the desire trees, so we went to the new Shamashanda temple and used that as the blueprint for the Krishna Balaram temple. Then we got, as I said, the man who thought he was P.C. Sarkar as a civil engineer. So they were saying, you need so much tor steel, you need so much cement, you need so much bricks. And one of my jobs was to go to Delhi and get these materials. So meanwhile, now the work is going on. Suddenly no one is there. It's like a ghost town. Oh, Maharaj, they've gone because it's harvest time. You know, that's the kind of things you might have to deal with in construction. But in India, anything can happen. And we got a construction company, Ala Bucks. And Prabhupada taught me, don't pay all, pay partially until it's done. But in the Leelamrita, damn cheap Babu was attributed to me, and it's not so. It's not so, because Prabhupada taught me how to deal with people in construction and how to deal with people in India. And unfortunately, even though we came from such a wonderful family atmosphere, there was a kind of a schism between the construction department and the deity worship, devotee morale, planning the deity room. It was like two different things. And although I was temple president, it was very hard to get information. I was supposed to look at all the expenses, everything. And so it was somewhat of a challenge, but there was plenty to do, so we coexisted. But now, the temple's being built, and Prabhupada wanted some deities. So Jamuna and I went to Jayapur, and we went to various Mukut deity wallas, and we were thinking of two different ones, and finally we settled on one, and he became our deity maker for this temple. And we moved in there, and you had to sleep in rooms with all these deities, half made, half, it was really nice. It's like you really felt protected. But they were somewhat in the mode of passion. The whole roof was filled with hot peppers. There was a layer of red chili on all their prasadam. I remember Bard Rush used to put it aside without them seeing it because he couldn't eat it. And so, actually, we didn't even accept the first two that they carved. And this was not an ordinary thing. Because Krishna Balaram, it had to fit perfectly. And because Prabhupada thought Londoneshwar was so nice, he wanted even sweeter, if possible, in Vrindavan. So Bhadras was the sweetest and best artist, so he came. And so I'd go, Jamuna would go, we'd go back and forth. And then Radha Shamshunda, Gornitai, going back and forth. And then I told you the story of Madhavisa's new sannyasi. Prabhupada sends him and Jamuna to Jayapur to oversee some of this deity. And like I say, Madhavisa didn't want to think about women, hear about women, see women, and especially not be with a woman on a trip to Jayapur. But Prabhupada is transcendental. He doesn't see gender like that. So as I said, he tried to put his danda in between Jamuna and him, but the riksha was small and she was getting large, so he couldn't not touch her. But he said soon after there was no gender. And Jamuna, a tireless worker, expert, competent, but even this construction people, I just found out today, they were treating her badly too. She didn't deserve that. As I said this morning, he called me a sentimentalist because I'd see good in devotees. As if that was a faulty thing. He thought it was like I was just being artificial, complimenting people. You know, like to get something or something. But that's the way he thought, that you would compliment somebody out of lust rather than love because you want to get something. I actually like to see good in people. So Jamuna would go to Jayapur a lot. And also, we wanted to make a deity room that was first class. We didn't want to make the same mistakes in London, like we had a small room and there wasn't enough room to bring new things in. So we made a high Jayatirtha myself and Jamuna planned this. So we made very high doors, hooks on the walls, first-class deity kitchen. And Prabhupada said it, and this should be a model for all the temples. He loved it. And also, later on, Prabhupada had me take photographs 360 degrees all around him for a murti of Prabhupada. And he did this in Vrindavan before he left, and this was unusual. Usually you don't do this until someone leaves, a murti. It's special. He said that this and Mayapur are the two special temples. All the others could close. These have to stay open. Sometimes when he was here, he would take us on pilgrimage, or he would have this wonderful Nectar of Devotion series at Rupa Goswami Samadhi. You've probably seen the photographs. Black and white. For days he would talk about Nectar of Devotion and we were in bliss. And then sometimes he would live in his old rooms and he'd have us stay there with him overnight. And also when I led pilgrimage tours, I would bring people to Prabhupada's rooms. And to this day people say that, thank you, Gurudas. Women, especially, thank you for taking us on that tour and taking us to Prabhupada's rooms. Because you want to take care of visiting devotees. But one person I remember, he told me, we were on a tour someplace in Radhakund or something. There was a little path, a little narrow path, and it was one of the, this is where such and such Goswami met the tiger. And there was 300 people on the pilgrimage, so it was on this path. So by, the man joked, by the time the story got to the last person, it was, Gurudas wants a limca. Because you'll do that if you pass the story on 300. So then Prabhupada says, Gurudas, you're our panda. Take us on a tour. So Samashinda is driving the red car, red ambassador, and Brahmananda and Gargamuni and myself were in the back seat, or let's see, who was it? No, I think it was Gargamuni and me and someone else. Let's say that would work. At any rate, Prabhupada sees Brahmananda now coming down the street and he says, come on. So now Brahmananda goes into the back seat. And then somebody else, and Prabhupada says, come on. And it was like the clown in the circus car. And then Panchadevita was there with his danda, and Prabhupada has him lie across of us with his danda sticking out. So finally we just walked instead of going back and forth into the car. I actually wrote a fictional thing with some anthropologists going to the different temples, and this one anthropologist had these boots that you had to lace up. So every temple he had to take these boots off. So finally they realized, leave your shoes, leave your boots, we send all the boots and shoes back to their place on rickshaws. So they could just go from temple to temple. But that's the mood of Prabhupada, that he would just include us all. And it's so amazing. Look at all of these individuals just in this room that Prabhupada has attracted. And some of the early wild men and women that Prabhupada attracted, all the Vietnam vets and all sorts of people. And if it didn't work, we wouldn't do it all these years. And so it's like Krishna at the Ras Lila dance, that every gopi thought that Krishna was especially interacting with her. That's what we felt about Prabhupada, because he made us all feel wonderful. And he talked about, sometimes I'd ask about Kripa, and Pushta Krishna really likes this. What about Krishna Kripa? And Prabhupada hit me in the stomach 3 times and says, Krishna says, take it, take it, take it. And sometimes I'd follow him again without shoes, and he said, no, you should wear shoes, even in the holy dhamma. Which was synonymous with meaning you have to take care of yourself. Prabhupada said health is very important to Rameswar. He said book distribution is important, but health is number one. And so also we had to go to Makrana for marble. It was like all these things. You had to go here for marble and this place for bricks and for cement, and I'd have to go into the minister's place, and they said, sorry, the cement is already taken. And I said, you're using it for a movie theater, a cinema. We want to use it for a temple. And I would make the man feel bad. And so he says, okay, you can have the cement first. I said, this is your tradition. You want it for your cinema? But that's what you had to deal with. Sometimes at one procession, the man says, I ordered 2 elephants. He says, well, you either have to take 1 or 4. You know, stuff like that. And you probably know, anybody who's been in India for a while, it's good because we have to use our common sense. We have to use our common sense for Krishna. It's his money. Once at the Kumbh Mela, the second one, I was put in charge, and we didn't have enough money, and there was no telex and wire and email, so I knew the district inspector general of the railway, and I had a special letter from him, and I called him and said, I need to get to Bombay immediately. So he arranged for a Maharaj's car, an ex-Maharaj. He put it on the back of the Janta Mail or whatever, and we went right to Mumbai, well, right to Bombay. Chandeliers, red velvet, gold rococo, kitchen in the car, big bed, Maharaj car. So these are the adventures that Prabhupada takes you on. And then we put the car going back to Prayag. And we're standing out on the land one day, and Prabhupada says, what's that whistle? In the distance. What's that whistle, Gurudas Ji? Well, I said, that's the Tufan Mail, Prabhupada, or Tufan Express. And it leaves at Mathura at such and such a time. And yeah, that's the Janta. He said, now you're an Indian. Because somehow or other, automatically, by osmosis, I was able to know what those trains were. So we started here with five people. Five. And slowly, 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 we built the temple around the tree. And the deities came in the middle of the night on a truck, and we were very careful, and all the peacocks were singing paeans of joy, honking, when the deities came. And so they were very pleasant days with Prabhupada and Pishi Ma. As I said, that sometimes I'd be sitting by Prabhupada's cot and we'd be talking about something, and then he'd fall asleep for 20 minutes and wake up speaking the same conversation. So, because the things were going on, then I was called to do a Pandal program in Delhi, right there in the center, Connaught Circus. It was wonderful. We had the poet laureate, the ambassador from Canada, James George, the scientist, Dr. Atmaram, the mayor of Delhi, Hans Raj Gupta, Prabhupada's friend, I think Devanand, some actor. And I went to the defense minister's house. I thought I should get somebody high up in the government. Now, I couldn't do this today. This was back then. And if I did it in the United States, you'd be writing me in jail. But we went to Jagjivan Mohan, I think his name was, defense minister, from one of supposedly a lower caste, something. So we go there, and the soldier comes out, and I was with another devotee. So our plan was, if somebody comes to stop us, I'll go that way and you go that way. So the soldier came, and I went that way, and the devotee went that way, and then we met. So the soldier went chasing after us, but Jagjav, he was in his pajamas, and he said, okay, they're here now, let them come. Because it was, you know, usually in morning time or after people eat breakfast, it's a good time to receive visitors. A lot of people do that, so we went at that time. I see a picture of his mother, big painting, chanting japa. I said, please come to our Delhi Pando program. He says, I can't, because it's secular. We're a secular government. If I go to yours, we have to go to everyone. I said, if you don't come, I'm going to tell your mother on you. Oh, I'll come. Of course, he didn't at the end. Same thing with Indira Gandhi. Prabhupada tells me, this is the second visit with her, Prabhupada tells me, if you can get Indira Gandhi to come to our Mayapur opening, Bhakti Vinod Thakur will drag you back to our Godhead personally. Yeah, well, I practically dragged the Prime Minister of India to Mayapur by her hair, but, you know, that wouldn't have worked. But I appealed to her, and this was the second visit. Actually, she was a nice person, personally. We had a Bhagavad Gita there, and some ghee from Holland, and a little bit of ghee got on her fingers, and she wouldn't touch the ghee until she washed her hands. Her birthday was one day after mine, and I said, oh, yeah, you're... And she giggled like a little girl. She was a nice person. Her politics weren't so great, but she personally was nice. And my friend Dr. Lokesh Chandra was her right-hand person. So I say, my Guru Maharaj would like you to come to the Mayapur. Oh, we're secular. We're secular. We can't go to one religion, another. I said, we're not a religion. We're a way of life. But she wouldn't go. I did the same thing in Northern Ireland. I'm on television, and they say, oh, another religion. We don't need another religion up here. And I said, we're not a religion. We're a way of life. And you could use another way of life up here. It's wartime. So we're at the Pandal. It's magnificent. Prabhupada's got a big Vyasasan. And so he calls me over and says, Guru Das, is there a WC? That's water closet, if anybody, a toilet. So we had a special alley and a special WC made for Prabhupada. So he just gets off the Vyasasan, and I'm leading him into this alleyway. Suddenly I turn around and 300 people are following this, saying, Swamiji, why are you leaving? What did we do to offend you? I had to head 300 people off at the pass. No, Swamiji's coming back. He's coming back. Then the Bombay Pandal. I wanted a sign that would be very attention-grabbing. So first I thought, I'll make the sign in the form of a rupee note. With Prabhupada instead of Gandhi, you know? But it was a little too crude. So what I did is I did a telegram. Everybody likes to see a telegram. So I did the sign in the form of telegram, and Prabhupada standing with his danda. Come to this. And it was fantastic. So many people. We had a big stage. And I'm photographing and chanting. You know, it's an art. To photograph and be a temple president and be a devotee, you have to be doing a few things at one time. And when Prabhupada would dance with his lotus feet, I'd dance and it was never clear. So I was photographing at this, and there's some young person, fresh from being a sadhu in the Himalayas, and he's thinking, what kind of sadhu has a camera? He sees me going on this. But see, he didn't know that you can use anything for Krishna. He didn't know yet. So Prabhupada says to me, get that person. So there was many people. I don't know again why he asked me, but I went through the crowd. Who, me? I picked the kid up. He has soulful eyes. I say, you're a bhakta, but you don't know it. And I take him. And then he was hungry. He hadn't eaten for 3 days. So there was a long, long line, and he's waiting in the line, hadn't eaten for 3 days, and there's halava, and it's smelling so nice, and it's warm, and he just gets it in his hand, and I come, and I grab it out of his hand, the same sadhu that was taking photographs, and grabbing him out of the crowd. Now he's taking my prasadam, and I'm hungry, I haven't eaten for 2 days. What's wrong with this guy? And I take him by the hand and I said, don't eat that, it's made with Dalta. Motor oil. I said, it's cooked with motor oil. Come with me. And I filled him in backstage when Prabhupada was there. And he, although tried so many spiritual traditions and met so many gurus, when he saw Prabhupada, he fell in love, and that's our Radhanath Swami. So now we're back in Vrindavan, and the deities are so beautiful, and Bhadras is putting the final touches on. And like I say, it was fraught with challenges, so... But you know, Prabhupada wanted the temple open at a certain time. We had already stalled him in San Francisco, and he busted us for that. Then he told us he wanted to hear us working in London. So he wanted things done, and he wanted the temple to open on a certain auspicious day. So I said, yes, Prabhupada, we'll do it. But nothing was ready. So Jamuna looks at me and says, Gurudas, it's not ready. Nothing's ready. Gunanava, Gurudas, nothing's ready. Surab, nothing's ready. Yeah, but Prabhupada, yeah, we can do it, we can do it. Prabhupada wants it. But they all go to Prabhupada and said, no, it's not ready. No, but we can do it. All right, Gurudas, we will postpone the date to another date. And then we had to deal with all the nuances of Vrindavan, the pandas and the Goswamis. And Prabhupada said, one way to find out if they accept you is invite them to dinner. If they think you're barbarians, they won't come. Western Prabhupada initiated so many things. Women doing deity worship. And even Prabhupada's treatment of women was decent. Some people might have misused it later, accepting the old chauvinistic Eastern system and misusing it, but Prabhupada wasn't like that. He was daughters and sons. So Prabhupada initiated a lot of things with this prophecy that people from the West would join people from the East in Harinam. Prabhupada said, I've done the culture, I've combined the culture of the East with the dynamics of the West. So, you know, Americans can be pretty pushy. Somebody gave me a huge garland from Lord Chaitanya's altar, and I was going to see my friend Dr. Lokesh Chandra, and they said, you want to take that garland to him? And I said, no, it's a little bit too American. It's like so I gave him a smaller garland. But it was this same individual boldness that forged the beginning of this movement, and in Europe too. And sometimes the motto, or the, not the motto, but the behavioristic guideline was, it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission. Right? That's why we do that with the cartels in London, you know? Yeah, we can't hear it through the... So, the same thing here. Lots of challenges. And the temple wasn't ready. But then finally, we put the finishing touches on everything. And from a field of nothing came this most beautiful temple. And some people say it's the most beautiful temple in Vrindavan. And so that's the story. I'd appreciate... Devi Shakti said, talk about the transition from Radha Damodar Temple. When we got this land, we were living with Prabhupada. When we came out here, we lived in these straw huts and situated ourselves here. So maybe you can ask some questions, because there's still some time, or say some to talk about something. Oh yeah, I have a little more. This is a conversation between myself and Prabhupada. I think it is better to have you as Srila Prabhupada, are people here liberated even if they don't have a bona fide spiritual master? Gurudas asks. Yes, Prabhupada says, because Vrindavan is directly under Krishna's supervision. Krishna is their spiritual master. I think it is better to have you as a spiritual master, Gurudas says, than to be born in Vrindavan. That's a Vaishnava's attitude, Prabhupada smiles. I remember that wherever my Guru Maharaj went, Vrindavan was there also. Since the bona fide spiritual master carries the Vrindavan atmosphere with him, then it's better to be with him. We're in the best situation of all, Prabhupada Samashinda says. We have both you and Vrindavan. I'm simply Vrindavan's messenger, he says humbly. His demeanor suddenly very serious and reflective. Vrindavan is revealed in the heart of the sincere devotee. In reality, it is not on any map, nor is it part of any country. It's not part of India. And India is one of the nicest places in the world. It really is, because of the service attitude here. Immediately, in the airport, I was doing some internet thing, and a man helped me. I said, that's why I'm coming back to India, because you're so nice. And every place is better than the other. Like Bhakti Siddhanta said, they asked him which is the best prasadam. He said, each one is better than the other. So they treated me royally in Mumbai and at the Echo Village. And then in Mayapur, so such intelligent and nice and giving, they made 3 cakes for me on my birthday. 3. It's like in the Ukraine, they bring me food and I'd say, do I look hungry? I was a little heavier then. Do I look hungry? It was a joke. About 10 minutes later, they said, oh, Gurudas made joke. 3 cakes, celebrating with 4,500 people. Cramming into, there was a yatra. And then about 60 people cramming into my room for another celebration. So kind, so service attitude, gifts, so many gifts, I have to get another bag tonight. Prabhupada's cheddar. The best gift ever. So, and Dharmatma just makes me feel very appreciative. And all of you, Devi Shakti's conniving to get me here in every which way. So, but I also miss, and I'd like to come back at least once a year, or maybe live here some months, or whatever. Because my heart still is in Vrindavan. Once you live here, you can't help. Achyutananda wanted me to wear yellow robes. He goes to Prabhupada and says, Gurudev should wear yellow robes. Why? Prabhupada's thinking we have enough separation as it is. Why? Because Gurudev is a grihastha that preaches like a sannyasi. They wanted me in their old boys club from the get-go. The sannyasis, you know. Join our club. They tried to do it, and Jamuna walked by at one meeting, and I was looking like that. They said, meeting over, she looked like a gopi with a water pot on her head. You know, they're trying to get, what's he looking? Oh, there's Jamuna. So what was I talking about? Huh? Yeah, thank you. So he should wear yellow robes. So I could see Prabhupada's mind, you know. So I say to Prabhupada, I like to preach, but I also don't want to leave Vrindavan. I feel so comfortable here. What should I do? Prabhupada said, preach to devotees. That was a realization, because we don't want to take each other for granted. I've seen temple presidents and two pals join together in this or that temple, and it's one of them becomes temple president, and then they don't talk to one another. You know, it's like the courtship in marriage. Okay, courtship is special. Now we're married, take it for granted. So we don't want to do that. And then Delhi, I had to go to Delhi for visa stuff, and also following that Maharaja Bharatpur, all this stuff, but I was riding in the car with Prabhupada and Hansraj Gupta, the mayor of Delhi. And we're riding by all this land, and Prabhupada says, what is this land for? And Hansraj Gupta said, it's for recreation. Prabhupada said, we're recreation. Swamiji, they were old friends. Next plot is, what is this for? Prabhupada says, oh, it's for education. We're education, give us. Swamiji. The next plot of land was for spirituality, and he gave us the plot of land for the Delhi temple. Same thing in London. The Greater London Council was complaining about the signage in front of the temple. So, they said no signs are allowed outside the temple. But there was a little wrought iron fence, so Prabhupada said, we're inside. Then there was a thing that said, there's no signs allowed inside. Prabhupada said, we're outside. he could take an argument on one side and then an argument on the other side. Not only did he talk monkey talk, but he had this gibberish talk. Did anybody ever hear that double talk thing that Prabhupada did? He just broke into this double talk thing. Oh, I only heard it one or two times, but it was like some stand-up comedian that had this own language. You never knew what he was going to do, say, or where to take you. He asked me to go to the ambassador's house in Delhi to give us a free... Did I tell this publicly or just to you privately? Well, he asked me to go to the ambassador's house in Delhi to get a free house for his American students. Ask the ambassador, American students here, give us a free house. We go to, and it's Sunday, it's not even Monday, so we go to his house. His wife is furious. She just sees us. You beggar bums, get out of here. She kicks us out, so we waited in the driveway. The ambassador comes. He was a gentleman. He gets out of his car. Why are you in the driveway? Well, we said your wife kicked us out. And he apologized, you know. He took us to this little house away from the house. You know, he had to live with her, so he knew better than us. So he apologized. So he said, yes, I'm sorry. This is away from my wife. What can I do for you? So I said, my Guru Maharaj would like you to give us a free house because there's many American students who are studying this bhakti yoga in Delhi. And he was very diplomatic about it, but I could see his mind going like, I don't have the power to this. I'm not a real estate. But I could see him thinking, well, these people are a little bit maybe audacious or crazy or bordering on arrogant. And I said, well, if you can't give us the free house, my Guru Maharaj's plan B is, do you know what plan B is? It's another plan. My Guru Maharaj's plan B is that we can pay for a house in any currency of the world. You want yen? Okay. So, again, we all owe this gathering, this floor that we're sitting on, this temple that we worship in, the Goshala, the Gurukula, the guest house, the satellite houses, the houses all over Vrindavan, all these stalls, the internet stalls, all these shops. The monkeys never came out here. There was so much flat, open ground. They were vulnerable. But now, so much building, they all owe this to Prabhupada. What to speak of us? So, I was an instrument. For some reason, Prabhupada picked me. I said, I don't know about construction. Samashinda could do it better. He's a carpenter. No. I want you. Krishna will help you. Boss. So, in any of your endeavors, there's a letter to me that suffering is minimized, but if you continue, you'll be blessed. So, all of you can carry this on. All of you can be gurus in your own right. And it's so wonderful from five people to see all these people here, all these buildings, all these children, all the research, all the things people are going on. They're making music. They're writing books. They're going all over the world because one man decided to follow his guru's orders and single-handedly go to the West. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. So if there's any questions or topics that you want me to elaborate on, yes, please. What? First of all, I've got 5 books in the process. A book I wrote for the public called Love, Medicine, and Music, The Flip Side of the 60s. Instead of Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll. And it's a really good book, and I'm wild. No, first I'm in the civil rights movement, but then I'm wild, psychotropic, searching, then I meet Prabhupada, and the Beatles are in it. And there's a book, Wonderment of Radha and Krishna, Further Adventures, Prabhupada's Bhajan Kutir, where he wrote a letter to Gandhi predicting his death if he didn't stop politics. Trip down the Sundarban and the Nityapada Kamala. Reunion with George Harrison. It's fun and adventures in Krishna consciousness to give the idea that Krishna consciousness really can be fun if you keep it ever fresh. And then a short story book called When Mountains Had Wings. And also the second edition of that by his example, because I'm sold out with 8 new stories and 5 new pictures. So that's the first one we're talking about. And she says, yes, that we can do it all here. And I've been frankly struggling in the West to get all of this done. And everybody here's just taking such nice care of me, and she just says, well, we'll take care of everything, you can live here, and your job description is jolly grandfather. And that's the nicest job description to get you someplace. Except it means that I always have to be jolly, and sometimes I don't feel like that. But I do most of the time. So that's what she's doing. But they're trying also in Mumbai, Delhi, Mayapur, and the Echo Village. Because they say, you could come here and write, we'll take care of everything. However, my heart's in Vrindavan, of all the places, even though they're so nice. You've all really made me remember what it's like to be at home with my family. Yes, thank you. The nice thing is we were friends first. I think I related. I had this Black Panther guy that was taking food out of people's refrigerators in his saxophone case. And I saw Jamuna and I fell in love with her when she put 2 pieces of incense in the wall. And I told the guy, don't take any food out of this chick's refrigerator. And we immediately became friends. We found common ground. We talked and walked the hills of San Francisco together. And Sam Ashinda says, I could never get into the bathroom. You and Jamuna were in this and that. we were discovering psychotropics together. Well, not discovering, we had already taken the psychotropic 101 course. But so, because this guru, Master Subramunya, wanted us to be his disciples, and he had this thing, odic and atmic world, it was like material spiritual world. He wanted us to teach hatha yoga. And he said, could you please come to me when you're not high on something? Oh, we'll try. He said, okay, you're here today. He really liked us, but are you high on something? Oh, yeah, we took some peyote for breakfast, sorry. So we actually were very close. And then she told me about Prabhupada. Mukunda came. Prabhupada came. Jamuna was already a good cook, but she had a way about her that was like a natural leader just by her actions. Not so many words, but by her actions, she could get people to want to join her. And the same way Prabhupada did. And Prabhupada piqued our talents, so she did calligraphy. I did photography. She took calligraphy with this guy, Lloyd Reynolds, in Reed College. She could have been a rock star. She had a band in San Francisco. You know her voice, but as Mick Jagger said, a band is either a family or a gang. And so a lot of rock bands don't work out. She was an expert potter, a ceramic worker. She had a pottery shop in San Francisco. We very rarely argued about anything. We had nonverbal communication. We could complete each other's sentences. We were a wonderful team. Everybody who came in touch with us, if we were together, liked us even more because of the two of us and how we would interact. And Prabhupada said that after our marriage that we were double the potency together. We only had one dhoti in the movement at that time, and so you tie the dhoti and sari together for 7 days. Higher Griba was saying, give me my dhoti back. And one of the most endearing or not endearing thing about her was she was a Taurus, and she had a bull-like quality if she wanted to get something done. Fortunately, I was on her side. The same thing with John Lennon. He was complaining about fame, and I said, yeah, you have a lot of parasites around you, and you're just polishing your chain. He said, I want to give peace a chance. I want to give peace a chance. I'm going to let my hair grow until there's peace. I said, you like your hair. Peace takes sacrifice, so if you really mean it, cut your hair off like me. The next week I saw he and Yoko had crew cuts. But they had this bull-like quality too to get things done. And so Jamuna, like with a velvet steel glove, could get things done. You weren't knowing she was a bull because she did it so nicely. And actually she was very compassionate towards devotees. That's one of my sadhanas too, to try and be kind to devotees, to nurture, to help you, to bring you Prabhupada so you can serve better. That's part of my sadhana. She had the same thing. Therefore, Prabhupada said that London Temple was so nice. And even here, some devotees told me that when we were here, it was beautiful, and then when we left, the people that took over were so horrendous that they had to leave for a while. So, I'm not praising myself, but I'm just showing that she had this side too, that she was approachable. She was detail-oriented. Look at her cookbook. She'd find out about spices and cooking utensils. She would go places to learn recipes. They made her GBC. Prabhupada wanted her to be GBC, but she said, no, Prabhupada, I'd rather do deity worship and cooking. I don't like politics. He made me GBC for 3 days, two different places. I don't like it either. So we were doing all the deity and art stuff and getting books. I had to do all the importing of the books. Mr. Manocha, I went to his wedding. I had such a nice relationship. He's the one who okayed all the books coming to India. And Indira Gandhi herself passed our visa because she was enamored with Jamuna. We did the thing. The old thing was you put the visa for 6 months and let it pend, unlike the plans to Krishna Balarama. I had to go to Mathura to get them to speed up. He couldn't find the plans. He's sitting on them. And the other plans, there's a rock holding them down, you know, with the wind, and a guy typing like that. So that one you push, but the visa thing you let go. Okay, it's pending. So then they okay it, then you put it in again. 4 years like that go by, they say, this guy's playing a trick. But by that time Indira Gandhi had liked us, and she said, I know these people, let them come. She charmed everybody. The Maharaj of Bharatpur loved her, even though he was crazy. I asked, what happened to the Maharaj of Bharatpur? I was talking about him yesterday. They said, somebody said he was shot by the government. He was shooting at a government helicopter and they shot him. You know, get off my land. She charmed everybody immediately. Even George Harrison flirted with her. I said, get away from my woman, man. It wasn't fun, but, you know. He told her he could make her a rock star. No, I'm not interested. You know, we weren't. We were on Top of the Pops, and they were putting those dancing girls there. And I said, we can't do it. Let's just go. And everybody packed up the instruments. That's the kind of people we were. We didn't have any groupies. I wouldn't let brahmacharis go to nightclubs, you know. It wasn't the regular rock band. They'd say, oh, I like that one. I think it's like George. And then there would be different personnel at each place. You know, it's just kirtan. But Yogeshwara Jivananda, oh, there's a beautiful song, Beauty of Krishna. I'll give it to somebody in the stick or something. It's a beautiful song that he composed. We did it on the road. We used to leave some spaces in the van because people were so enamored with us that they'd come back to the temple. We would say, we're not a rock band. We'd go on all these gigs and Jamuna would come out with her booming voice. And just by hearing it, everybody would become enraptured. And Prabhupada cried when he heard the Govindam. And She did it her way, but she did it. She did it. She was a first-class devotee. First class. Deity worship, singing, bhajan, cooking, speaking. She said, and this could be what she's remembered for, she said about bhakti yoga, if you live it, you can give it. If you live it, you can give it. In other words, don't be phony. Don't be show bottle. Do it for yourself, too. So, any other questions, please? Hari Bol! Let's give him Hari Bol. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Thank you so much for serving in that way. We've met, right? All you people out there in transcendental radio land, this gentleman was instrumental in preventing the first London temple from closing down. It took 7 years. Prabhupada asked him to do it. He was a barrister, and he did it for free. Serving, and what name were you given?
Prabhupada.
Prabhupada Das. Oh, that's great. So we're brothers, you know, because he changed in the middle of my initiation. I had an R, and Prabhupada stops and says, "No, your name is Gurudha." Perfect. Thank you very much for all your service. Any other questions? We have to stop pretty soon, right? Yeah. What happened to a ring that Prabhupada gave to George? Yes, please. Jayatirtha was instrumental in this deity planning. Now, some people may think badly about this person or this, but he was a real gentleman and a very nice devotee. He didn't have all these manipulative gangster pushy kind of tactics, so I always liked him. Okay, any other? Yes. It doesn't have to, but it's so much easier to administrate if everybody's acting the same, saying the same, doing the same thing. So it's sort of it could be a corporation or a sports team. Charismatic leaders, tradition, books, anthems, songs. It's behaviorism. It's the easy way out. No, we're brothers and sisters. Men and women are the same in the spiritual platform. People may not agree with me, but that's the mood that Prabhupada gave me, and that's the mood that I maintain. We're all a family together, and we have to build. And so, you know, maybe it got strict for this reason or that reason, but that's what happened when movements grew. The same thing in the civil rights movement. We started out with wonderful ideals, and we fought with our lives, and then there were some changes as it grew. It just happens, not just in this movement. But this is Vrindavan. We want to maintain the mood of Vrindavan, which is love for Krishna and love for one another. Thank you. If you, anybody wants any of these DVDs, me speaking an hour and a half in Alachua about Prabhupada, or the five slideshows, or any of these photos, please come and I can sign stuff, and it will help me to continue my preaching endeavors and publishing endeavors. Thank you.